During the American occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, there was one name that kept coming up, Blackwater. That's the name of the private security group who worked for the US State Department in those countries. Usually employed ex-military men, out to make a lot of cash, probably interested in an interesting adventure in a war zone. The man behind Blackwater was the mysterious ex-Navy SEAL Eric Prince, extraordinary name, having resigned as CEO of Blackwater in 2009, having had long fights with the American government. Eric Prince now has a new venture, and to tell us about it, I'm joined by David Veith, the editorial page writer for the Wall Street Journal, and he's based in Hong Kong. Welcome, David.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Eric Prince is an extraordinary character. The more you read about him, the more you think there's a movie with Matt Damon in the pipeline to be made about him. You've interviewed him. What's he like as a person?
He really is, as you say, a character right out of Hollywood or right out of literature. In a lot of ways, he's a very imposing and impressive figure, physically and otherwise. If you look at his biography, he's an ex-Navy SEAL, and he looks the part. He's serious. He also clearly has a real drive to do what challenges him and what interests him, and that has pulled him into some extremely interesting and controversial work with the U.S. government and now, interestingly enough, in Hong Kong and with the Chinese government.
In the interview that you did with him, he seemed quite candid about how, especially about how he felt about how he was treated by the American government. Does he swing from being candid to cagey when you talk to him?
It's interesting. The main sense that one gets is really the candor. And then when it comes to his reflections on working for the U.S. government, really a lot of bitterness. And that's one of the things that makes him really an interesting character in a lot of ways, with many internal contradictions, like a character out of literature. He's clearly an American patriot. He's put himself on the line for the U.S. in the military and for the U.S. intelligence services. And yet his experience getting involved in political controversy in Washington, and as he sees it, getting abandoned by his former clients at the State Department and elsewhere, has really made him very bitter about the U.S. government and even to a substantial degree about the U.S. political process.
Yeah, so he says that he was in Blackwater for patriotic reasons, for heart reasons, but this new venture is all about money, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about what he's doing now?
That's right. He is now the chairman of a company called the Frontier Services Group, which is an Africa-focused security and logistics firm. It's tied to China's largest state-owned conglomerate, the CITIC Group. CITIC Group is the company's second largest shareholder behind Mr. Prince himself. And what the company will look to do is to provide logistics and security services for Chinese firms, mostly state-owned firms, operating in Africa in things like oil pipelines and mineral extraction and infrastructure building, like, you know, building enormous dams. And so Mr. Prince wants to do things like provide the helicopters and also implicitly the security needed to move large amounts of equipment around and to move goods in and out.
And these are multi-billion dollar projects?
Oh, certainly, multi-billion dollar projects. In a lot of ways, the scale of what we're talking about is staggering. In the infrastructure area alone, roads, railways, and airports, the Chinese government plans to spend $1 trillion in Africa over the next decade alone.
And what do you make of his motivation, other than money, behind heading to China? Are other people doing what he's doing there?
What he explains is that not enough people are doing it, which is why he has such a promising business opportunity as he sees it. As he explains it, China, of course, has been operating in Africa for many years. It's not a new thing for these Chinese state-owned enterprises, but what he says is that the enterprises have a way of trying to bring from China to Africa absolutely everything they might need, all the way down to, you know, the cooks and the barbers on site at these mines and other places. And so what he says is that, therefore, there are some areas in which their expertise is somewhat limited or the skills and the services available are somewhat ad hoc. What he says is that he has, you know, rather more extensive and international experience doing some of this logistics and security work in tough areas in Iraq and Afghanistan and elsewhere. And so he can bring to the table for these Chinese firms more, or at least more efficiency than they can produce for themselves.
And so Africa for him is the new frontier to make money.
That's certainly the way he sees it.
Look, he talks about his disillusionment and frustration with working with the American government. How's he going to find working with the Chinese government? I mean, he's working with the largest state-owned conglomerate.
That's right. And it's an interesting thing. Right now, of course, getting off the ground in a way where he's publicly listed in Hong Kong and his second largest shareholder is essentially a government entity, he speaks only positively about his potential future partners in the Chinese government and in the kind of government world writ large. But of course, it'll be an interesting thing whether he can sustain that. Certainly he had the experience of, as he puts it, getting blowtorched by politics in the U.S. context. And there's no question that there are all sorts of difficult political maneuvers that have to get done in dealing with Beijing as well. They're of a different sort, of course, than dealing with Washington, but in many ways they're probably no less difficult, and it'll be among his challenges for sure.
Now, he says the main reason he's there is to provide those logistics, you know, kind of moving massive bits of infrastructure and people and services to these kind of hard-to-reach places. And when you asked him, when you met him about is he going to be providing security, he said, and I can quote here, "We're not there to provide military training. We don't envisage setting up a whole bunch of local guard services around the continent." Do you think he's being genuine? And also, do you think that's realistic given where some of these infrastructure projects are?
He insists, exactly as you said, that the work of his firm will be primarily and even overwhelmingly in the logistics realm as opposed to in the security realm. Now, certainly, depending on which pockets of Africa he's working, the security requirements might be heavier in some places than in others. It certainly seems that he wants to put himself at a certain remove from some of the security difficulties or the challenges of providing security that he's had in the past. And so it looks like rather than in the past where he, of course, as you mentioned earlier, hired former U.S. military veterans and deployed them essentially as a security service, it seems that in Africa now, to the extent he's doing security, his preference is to basically provide trainers and advisors and overseers and then to have various local forces, whether formal state local forces or other private firms on the ground, actually do the security. But as you suggested, it's hard to really know, and certainly he has a lot of expertise doing security. It's certainly the kind of thing that one can imagine these Chinese firms would ask him to do when they're already engaged over there in Africa.
This is Rebecca Huntley on RN Drive. I'm talking to David Fyth from the Wall Street Journal about the extraordinary character, Eric Prince. David, I've got one final question for you. I mean, how does Prince respond to the natural and obvious questions about issues around environmental degradation, about human rights issues, the Chinese patronage, for example, with Presidents for Life like Sudan's Bashir? How does he respond to that?
That was a major part of our conversation, and he responds essentially by saying that what he's doing is simply capitalism 101. He says, as he told me, when someone needs copper or wood or an agriculture product and they invest somewhere, they invest capital and people get jobs and goods get introduced to the world stage and it gets traded and moved, the whole world benefits. Now, of course, there's a lot more to it than that. There are deals between the Chinese government and all sorts of unsavory characters from Omar al-Bashir to others. Basically, Mr. Prince wasn't so interested in discussing those. His point is that there needs to be economic development in the sorts of places he'll be working, and as he sees it, it's a win-win not only for the locals and not only for China, but interestingly also for America. He doesn't see this move as essentially helping an American adversary. As he tried to argue, the more that China and America trade with the world and with each other, the less likely they are to have conflict.
David Fyth from the Wall Street Journal, thank you so much for giving us a deeper picture into the dark world of Eric Prince.
Thanks for having me.